The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
Decision-making is huge for the quarterback. The timing is huge. And, you know, late in the down, you got to be a good decision-maker as a quarterback early in the down and late in the down. So late in the down, he's finding these receivers. And then, you know, I would expect if they're not available, then he just throws it away or runs with it. But I think that's part of Teddy's charm. He's a good decision-maker.
It's Pat Shurmur talking about Teddy Bridgewater. A lot of fans in Teddy Bridgewater all over the place, left and right. Broncos did make some moves, including getting Aaron Patrick.
Yeah, something that George has been working on for the last day or so, and he was able to get that done. He just got here about an hour ago, so it's in the early stages.
Okay, good to know. Aaron Patrick is an interesting story. He's an edge rusher who is with the Jaguars, made their 53. They had a bit of a clog up, goes to their practice squad, so he gets through waivers there. You can protect four players a week from your 16-man practice squad. He's protected the first week, but he's not protected this particular week, and George Payton goes and snatches him up. Troy Rank in for Tyler. Tyler will be back tomorrow. I am sporting the Pedal with Columbus bike jersey, if you're watching us online, denverfan.com or whatever internets you got, but denverfan.com, you can see it. So I'm a fashion statement today, the best that I can, so you can get a peek at that right there. But that's a pretty savvy move, I think, by George Payton to pick up a guy that is definitely roster-worthy in a weird little situation there with Jacksonville.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to it. Obviously, the urgency increased with Bradley Chubb's surgery because you were trying to hold out hope he could play through it and didn't work. And to get a guy that you said it was not just a practice squad guy, but had been a roster guy, you need depth. They cut running back Nate McCrary to make room for Aaron Patrick on the roster. And that's why.
Oh, is that who they let go of?
Yeah, they'd let go of the running back.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there's just a lot of churn on the back of the roster, and I think you're going to see even more of it with George Payton. Just the way he works the wire and works that from kind of spot 49 through 53.
Mm-hmm.
But Patrick's a guy, you know, he and, you know, they got Micah, what, Pfizer yesterday, the linebacker, to add depth.
Yep.
They're trying to protect themselves because injuries happen. It's 100% certainty. But they can only lose a few more starters. Let's be honest here.
You
got Baltimore coming up. You got Pittsburgh coming up. Mm-hmm. You got Cleveland coming up. You can't keep losing two starters a week. I mean, they're not that good.
Justin Strnad will have what a hell of an opportunity he's going to have. And it was interesting to hear Von Miller speak so highly of Josie Jewell. Really praised Josie Jewell today. Not that he was trying to rag on Strnad. He had plenty of good things to say about Strnad, too. It was, hey, that's a loss right there. Ryan, you've got a question about that. Go ahead. What's going on, Ryan?
Well, knowing that Josie Jewell is on his last year of the contract, my question is, if these two rookies come in, one steps it up, plays just as good or maybe a little bit better, do you think that they'll re-sign him? Because I don't see it if they play up to that level or better.
Okay, thank you. Well, first of all, Sherrod's not a rookie, but I understand you're not. He got hurt. He had a wrist injury, and he missed basically the entire year last year. So, but he's not a rookie. He's a second-year guy. I don't know what other rookie he's talking about, but
I think unless he's talking about Pfizer, the guy they just claimed off waivers.
They claimed off
practice squad. He's not a rookie, though.
No, he's
been in the league.
Jewell, they like Josie Jewell a lot. He's hardly like going to be a huge priority for them. This is where, listen, man, this is going to come to bite them on the butts at one point or another, this position that they've just been a little bit allergic to, even though they've needed to take care of it year after year after year. And talk about, it's one thing to say, should you have taken Mac Jones or Justin Fields as a quarterback instead of Patrick Surtain? You really could have made the argument, should you have taken Micah Parsons as well? So they've I wouldn't say they've ignored it, but it just hasn't clicked in for them.
I would say Josie Jewell is much more likely to come back, get re-signed. Vic Fangio's affection for him was clear when he cut Todd Davis. It was the ringing endorsement of Josie Jewell. And to Jewell's credit, his first two games this season, it's the best football I've seen him play. He's had games here and there, but he's got like 8 tackles, a forced fumble, 2 tackles for loss.
Yeah.
And he's played well. For me, it's a one or the other between he and Alexander Johnson if Sternad plays well. I don't see them both just keep going down this track. The reason I say that is not against AJ, Alexander Johnson, because he does some things you really like. He's physical.
His coach calls him AJ, by the way, even though he wants to be called Alexander. His coach calls him AJ. But go ahead.
So Alexander is physical. He's different. He just hasn't been the playmaker he was when he came into the lineup a couple years ago. They both stopped the run well. The reason it could be a one or the other is Justin Sternad was drafted as like a hybrid linebacker safety. If he shows he can be used in coverage, he complements Josie Jewell better, and they could fit moving forward. Maybe, though, this becomes the opportunity for Alexander Johnson to call the defensive signals. He becomes more varied in his skill set. Then he and Sternad are the fit moving forward.
I'll tell you
but
this.
I don't think it's going to be long-term Jewell and Alexander Johnson if Sternad is the player they think he is.
Well, let's face it. Alexander Johnson was a flyer. The flyer
Correct.
Of all flyers. The fact that he's even on the team is actually a miracle. It's hardly like he was any part of any plan at all. Jewell was. Sternad, boy, I tell you, talk about a guy that looks the part. That's for sure.
He's Jake from State Farm. He is Jake from State Farm. I tell him that every time I see him.
Jake from State Farm is if Jake was 6'3" and 240 pounds.
You're ruining the story.
All
he's
right.
Jake from State Farm. Every time I see him, I just think of like the woman on the ad like giving him like 3 steaks and bacon and then like that 2-pound thing of ranch dressing from the Jake from State Farm ads. And I was joking with him because as Jake from State Farm got more famous in the Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers commercials, his shirt started getting tighter.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this guy an athlete now? I thought he was an insurance agent. And by the time they're throwing like a ball in a park with Rodgers, he's like cut.
He's yoked up.
He's all yoked up. But it's funny. Justin Sternad, I've gotten to know. I did a Meet the Picks thing with him. Last year he was on my podcast a couple weeks ago. This is a bright guy. He wanted to go into broadcasting, so I do question his intelligence. But no, he looks the part, acts the part. He's really smart. Grew up a huge Tampa Bay fan. Hey, funny story with him. Who was the linebacker they got from the Chiefs last year that never played?
D-Mac. Oh my God!
I can't remember.
I know.
His name. Mark.
Kiss. You had him. Richie. I know.
He
exactly
literally never
who
played.
About.
He pulled his hamstring.
No, he was on the side field the whole year.
On the side field, and then he got cut. Sternad got his autograph and a picture with him at Bucks training camp because he was a former...
Mark Barron.
The former Bucks number one choice. And he's like, I showed him this picture. We got on, and Barron did not think it was great at all. Now we know why, because Barron was like on the verge of retirement. His hamstring was like that of a pterodactyl, apparently. But Justin Sternad is a bright guy. I'm rooting for him just because I know he was so devastated last year. He blew out his wrist in training camp. Remember, it was like early in camp. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But you're right. They've never meaningfully addressed it. We thought they would in free agency. Last year when a couple of the Chicago guys were available and Vic Fangio showed no interest. And if he didn't, you're like, okay, it's not a fit. But he likes Jewell.
He likes Jewell.
We'll see where that goes.
And Jewell's value on the market's not going to be that great.
Right. You can keep Jewell.
It's not that big of a deal. By the way, if you think, you know, perhaps Jake from State Farm has been juicing, I understand Flo from Progressive is on roids. And the emu.
Oh, Jake is just lifting. I didn't say anything about juicing.
Oh, Flo is. I didn't say anything about him either. But Flo is. It's ridiculous. There is a player on the Broncos who's the most as we talk about these guys that he looks at. There's a story from a guy on the Broncos who doesn't look the part, but plays the part, and he's a really important guy. Plus, strong take from Zach Bye about the Chubb bust status. Oof. Dirty 4-letter word right there. This is The Drive on The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.
The one player on the Broncos is Troy Ranks. This in for Tyler. Tyler will be back tomorrow. Pedal with Palumbus on Saturday. I'm wearing the shirt. You can come and support denverfan.com. You don't have to be allergic to bicycles, Troy. It's all right. They won't bite.
Okay.
Malik Reed. Malik Reed is an unbelievable story. Most guys on the Broncos look like they should be on the Broncos or in the NFL. I mean, just physically and the way they carry themselves, and just even the smaller guys like a Kareem Jackson, there's just something about them. Never mind just the physically bigger dudes. Like, folks, let me tell you something. If you stood next to Courtland Sutton, you would be just blown away that this guy can, it does what he does, because his size is just absolutely ridiculous. And it's not just that he's 6'4", 6'5". He's got extraordinarily like long arms. His athleticism is through the roof. If you were to stand next to Garrett Bowles, no matter what you think of Bowlesy, most people think good things now. It's ridiculous. Dalton Risner, Troy. I mean, the list goes on and on. Even Von Miller, who's not overly big, but there's just something unbelievably athletic looking about him. Justin Simmons has large features for a skinny guy, but if you get up close, you're like, oh man, wow, there's something unusual here. Malik Reed looks like, he just looks like a dude. He just looks like a guy. He is the least imposing looking NFL player I think I've ever been around. How does a guy that looks so unimposing play so ferociously and is in the position that he's actually in?
He doesn't have the presence of Von, you're right. He still weighs around 245, 250. So he's bigger than you think, but he doesn't cast himself that way. It doesn't come off as a guy like Von, who's 6'3", 256, and has the body fat of a Snackwell's cookie.
Yeah, so he may weigh the same as like Alexander Johnson, but Alexander Johnson seriously looks intimidating as hell.
Right, much bigger.
Even like a Josie Jewell sort of guy. And Malik just does not have that. He just doesn't look like it.
No, he looks undersized, but it's all part of the fabric of his story. He played at Reno, University of Nevada, Reno. Switched positions his senior year because his coaches are like, you got a chance to play in the pros, but you need to try different positions. And he got into training camp that year, and that's where his nickname stuck. He has one of the best nicknames on the team.
He has a great nickname.
Dream Killer. Von Miller gave him the nickname of Dream Killer, and he made the team that year as an undrafted free agent. And Malik is from a smaller town in Alabama, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. But what I appreciate about Malik, and I know you do, D-Mac, because you understand the journey to pro sports. Mm. You're the 1st percentile.
Mm.
He does make it as undrafted.
Right.
And then he realized, I got to stay in town. I got to live here.
Mm.
I'm going to work with a nutritionist. I'm going to get diets from my the Broncos chef, and so my wife and I can learn to cook. So he
is
takes
that
up
what he's
cook,
done?
Taking
right?
up cooking. He and his wife learning to cook healthier meals.
Okay,
so he's similar weight, but he's leaned out, and it's like I got to work differently. I got to change. I want to work in the altitude more. So he didn't take it like he punched the winning lottery ticket with I made the team as an undrafted free agent. I started. It was, I want to be good in this league. I want to make a career of this.
Right.
So everything he's done since then has enhanced his value. And that's why every time they say, well, Malik Reed, he's a backup, he's going to start. He's really started the last 3 years.
He really has.
He never has stopped starting. He led the team in sacks last year. Now, he isn't a guy, like if Vaughn's gone, it's easier. You can probably take Malik out. It's tough for him to set the edge. when you talk about his size, that's one thing I think Bradley Chubb gets a bad rap when you just say 7.5 sacks. Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
He is a force in the run game. He's 270 pounds. He sets the edge, and he is a. That's why he won the Pro Bowl. He got the Pro Bowl. As opposing coaches watch that video and go, my God, this guy is just a vicious stopper of the run. That's not Malik Reed.
No,
because of his size.
Bradley Chubb looks like the hero in an action thriller Superman type of movie. Bradley Chubb looks like the guy who's eating the popcorn watching the movie.
Or Malik Reed
Malik
does.
Reed does.
Yeah, yes. They're just different size. But Malik Reed has done everything to make himself a functional NFL pass rusher. And with Vaughn on the other side, he does get opportunity. As I said, they're going to chip.
A great story.
They're going to chip Vaughn more than my windshield on I-25. They're going to take him out of the game. So at some point, Malik Reed's going to get an opportunity to change it.
Here is Malik Reed on being a starter, although he's really he
hasn't stopped starting in 3 years.
I feel like it's been good, you know, with the opportunities that's been provided and, you know, taking advantage of those things. And, you know, so I'm excited, ready to get going. You know, it's always tough, injuries. You know, that's the nature of the NFL. And, you know, a guy like Chubb, who's, you know, like my brother, you know, it's hard to, you know, see him go down in that way. And I know that he's going to be back, and he's going to be back stronger than ever. So we just, you know, continuing to pray for him and, you know, encourage him while we can and looking ready for him to get back.
Okay. And this leads us to the conversation, really, of where we sit with Bradley Chubb, our guy, Zach Bye, and Brandon Stokely. It's been rough. Are they speaking the truth? I'll kill you with truth next.
I'm just an old truth teller.
It's time for D-Mac to kill you with truth.
I want the truth!
Tell the truth.
And the truth shall set you free!
Here on The Drive.
Troy Rankin for Tyler. This is where I just talk ad nauseum and
truth teller.
Theoretically, I'd blow you away with truth-telling, and you just say, D-Mac, you are a genius.
But,
well, that's how it always is in my mind. Zach Bye saying this about Bradley Chubb.
I tweeted this yesterday, and Tyler
James Maryland
said this as well, that he thinks the word bust is unfair. And I would agree with that, because Bradley Chubb, when healthy, has been a good player. He looks like a guy worthy of being drafted number 5 overall.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't.
But...
No, he James, no, he doesn't.
When he's healthy, you don't think so?
No.
Oh, come on. He had 12.5 sacks as a rookie, 7.5 last year.
7.5? He didn't lead the team. He didn't lead the team in a year Von Miller didn't play. If you're telling me that Bradley Chubb looks like the 5th overall pick when he's out there, I throw the challenge flag on that.
Here's the truth. This is falling for the banana in the tailpipe. This whole bus talk about Bradley Chubb is just a smokescreen for the real truth. And that was the horrible philosophical approach the Broncos took to the 2018 draft. And by the way, forget about Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, or Lamar Jackson. Forget about that. Let's just talk about other truths. They didn't interview Bradley Chubb. They never mocked Bradley Chubb. They weren't ready to draft Bradley Chubb, and they should have made a deal with the Buffalo Bills and drafted Roquan Smith, a linebacker. So this whole concept of Bradley Chubb a bust or this or that, he played a different type of defense at North Carolina State. He was never a great complementary back to Von Miller, who you have to base your entire defense off of. And so now, whatever Bradley Chubb's future is, obscures the truth that this was just one of Elway's worst draft mistakes of all time. And of course, if you just simply want to say, well, Bradley Chubb or Josh Allen, yeah, no kidding. That's obvious. The more subtle truth is you could have got more with the deal for the Bills, picked up a linebacker, and gone in that direction, and that would have been better, and that's not even Bradley Chubb's fault. None of this is Bradley Chubb's fault. So whether he's a bust or disappointing, my argument is he never should have been here in the first place. Not personally, but positionally and philosophically. So I'm not even going to bother if he's a bust or not, because the choice itself was a philosophical football bust That is one of the main reasons we're in this trouble to begin with. And thank God we're digging out of it. And that is the truth. Troy.
You are right in that he fell into their lap. They didn't do a lot of homework on him. And they just felt like when Cleveland took Denzel Ward, like, here's Chubb. Because we all thought Cleveland Browns were going to take Bradley Chubb. That's how it had been mocked. And then there was going to be choices for the Broncos. That we thought then they would move back, make a trade with the Bills. Chubb falls into their lap, and they end up taking Chubb. And it does then reflect on why wasn't more homework done on Josh Allen? Why didn't they just trade back? Why didn't they get Roquan Smith, which was a need? Inside linebacker has been a need since the day Danny Trevathan left, frankly, because Brandon Marshall's knees started bothering him almost immediately after, at least 1 year after the Super Bowl. So Bradley Chubb is not a bust. He is not. And it's not fair to that because when he's been on the field, he's been a very good player. He's been a Pro Bowler, and he nearly set the rookie sack record. Availability, though, is a skill. He hasn't played enough. But I don't use term bust, me personally, D-Mac, on guys who are really good who just get hurt for bad luck or whatever. And in his case, he's had some bad luck. If you want to say it, if fans want to look at it differently through the lens of Josh Allen would be here, I've argued this point with you, D-Mac. I don't think Josh Allen would have developed here. Nothing against Josh Allen. I just think the infrastructure, it's been such a chaotic infrastructure of changing head coach, changing coordinator, GM then ultimately gets fired, essentially replaced. I don't know that Josh Allen could have succeeded
but
here.
But you're assuming the same domino effect would have happened in all those positions had Josh Allen been there. And my argument is no, it wouldn't have happened. You would have had those guys that you mentioned would have had success. We wouldn't have George Payton here. It would still be John Elway. You may still have Vance Joseph. You may have a lot of the guys sticking around. Because what would have happened is Josh Allen would have run around like he did in his first year with the Bills and just made things happen. And then they would have just kept customizing things around him. It would have been like that. And if some of these offensive coordinators don't necessarily fit or Vance Joseph is just, you know, an idiot for whatever reason, it's simple, Troy. They just get guys that would fit with Josh Allen. That's it. So, of course, it still would have worked out. It would have been clunky in the first year. It's going to be clunky for Trevor Lawrence in the first year. It's clunky for Zach Wilson. It's clunky for Justin Fields. It's clunky for all these rookies. But because Josh Allen had a unique set of skills that would just get him through the clunkiness, he would have succeeded. We'd be Super Bowl favorites this year, just like the Bills are.
Do you think they would have shown patience just following your connecting your dots with a quarterback whose rookie year had 10 touchdowns and 12 picks?
Oh, no doubt about it.
Okay.
Well, first of all, you're committed. You're pot committed once you go in. They were never pot committed to Drew Lock. It was easy for them to have this competition.
Second round pick.
And this competition was really silly. Because if you don't really believe in Teddy Bridgewater, and clearly they don't, the Panthers are paying more of his salary than the Broncos. Duh. I mean, Teddy Bridgewater wasn't acquired, Troy, until the day before the draft. The fact that he's working out is absolutely awesome. But to think that Teddy Bridgewater was the plan is fool's gold. But you did get him the day before the draft. You were in the perfect position to draft Justin Fields or Mac Jones. They can sit on the bench just like Patrick Mahomes did. Teddy Bridgewater can be unabridged and just play and be the starter. We wouldn't have this foolishness of the competition thing. And then you can assess later. Patrick Mahomes sat for basically an entire year.
Played one game against the Broncos.
Last
game of the season.
And that had been fine for whoever. Or maybe Teddy Bridgewater falls apart and, you know, now you got a shot. Who knows? But Drew Lock? Are we sitting here worried about the development of Drew Lock? No, Drew Lock is just a backup quarterback now. It'd have been different with a first-round guy. You would have stuck with that.
Okay, and my plan for it was to take Justin Fields because you didn't have to trade up for him. Let him sit the whole year.
Right.
And then he plays, and we see now, man, Teddy Bridgewater been the perfect mentor.
Right, and then you say, well, we wouldn't have Patrick Surtain. Oh, well. I mean, then you and here's what we would have had. because they really did love Javonte Williams. So I think they were taking Javonte Williams in the second round. You would have had whoever the best available cornerback would have been instead of Quinn Meinerz. That's who you would have had. And you already had Fuller and Ojemudia and
Callahan and Darby.
And you got it. And you know what? Next year, you could get the Pat Surtain of corners. And guess what? There will be a Pat Surtain of corners next year as well. There's always a Patrick Surtain of corners next year. These guys, these are the like great athletes that you actually can find in college. And you know what, where you can find them too? Free agency. They exist every year. There's guys like that in free agency. You know who there's not? Guys like quarterbacks.
Well, the good ones don't become free agents.
Right. But we live in a world where it's all about free agents. Or what? Trading away the entire team for 39-year-old disheveled Aaron Rodgers?
It just looks more and more like last spring was the time to do it. Because now, if Bridgewater goes, if they go 9-8 or 10-7, are you going to mortgage your roster for Rodgers? I mean, I was on the Rodgers train forever. I'm just saying, let's say the Packers get knocked out in the first round, and we'll follow this conversation.
Let's get into it.
It is interesting to connect the dots now based on how Bridgewater is playing. When we were connecting them before, it was Bridgewater in Carolina and the player he was then.
Let's get into it. Plus, I love the fact that Kevin and Richie are just betting on their own behind the scenes. And Richie is just, I actually don't know where it stands, but Kevin and Richie got a bet going on. And we'll give you the details next.
It's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Hi, what are you knuckleheads up to back there as we watch the Rockies? Oh my God, two outs, nobody on base. Rockies up one, Estevez on the mound. Betts singles. Seager hits a ball off Estevez's foot. And then I kind of lost track. And then there was Trey Turner, I think, got a base hit to tie the game. I believe that's how it went. But you guys, what's going on, Richie, with you and Chicken Fingers there? What are you guys doing?
Well, I probably took a bet that I shouldn't have. He caught me off guard with it. He just turned to me randomly in the middle of the segment and goes, I'll bet you a Mountain Dew that Estevez blows the lead in this inning. And without it, literally, unconsciously, I was like, done. And I didn't even look at the TV, didn't look at the score, but there was no outs. Everything was fine.
Just said blow the lead, not lose the game, just blow the lead?
Blow the lead. It was a single inning contained bet. I was like, I got this. And
he did.
And he immediately did, like within 5 minutes after.
Wait, Kevin, you made that bet with two outs?
No. I made it with zero, right when the inning started.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go. It would have been more impressive if you actually laid that bet with two outs.
I probably still would have done it.
He still would have done it.
But they did tie it up. It's happening down at Coors Field, right? So you got to get Kevin his...
He's drinking it right now.
His health drink.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
He just popped it right there.
Hey, another log on the fire there, Chicken Fingers. Drink it up.
Literally nothing that could have gone right for me after making the bet went right.
Two straight outs. You got fat Albert Pujols.
Yeah, but
Albert Pujols is so fat now, he threw his bat at the ball, and it trickled to the shortstop. And Richie was like, gun him out. It's like Pujols is barely out of the box. How fat is Pujols? Oh, man. Brendan Rodgers strikes out. Damn. So the Rockies did get a runner to second base. Yeah. Yeah, you should be ticked off, Brendan.
Here's something I want to read as part of the Rockies.
Kelly Jansen, he's pretty good. Go ahead.
Narrative, sorry, just to stick poor Seabreeze in the open wound that is D-Mac. Yeah. Rockies, according to my friend Nick Groke, officially were eliminated from playoff contention today.
What?
As the Red Hot Cardinals won their 12th straight game, and they were eliminated when Nolan Arenado scored a run in the eighth inning to win them that 12th straight game.
So that means Arenado. So we're in the playoffs. You see we have the Arenado shirt here that I bought for Tyler as a birthday present.
I miss seeing an Arenado play every day. I miss it.
If they hire Bill Schmidt, I'm going to have to tap out.
When they hire. It's 100% certain they're going to hire him. If? What's the if?
They can't do it.
Is this a Rudyard Kipling poem? If? There's no if about it. When is the last time they went outside the organization with imagination?
It's more like Shel Silverstein.
no chance that they go outside the organization.
Well, then I'm sort of done. I mean, I can't root against the Rockies. I can't do it.
I'd never tell people not to go. I didn't have a team here growing up.
Right. I like baseball too much, and I've spent 20 plus years. I've got too much time. My roots are too deep with the Rockies to root against them, but I won't be able to defend anything they do in the future. I won't be able to do it on the air. I have been called a Rockies apologist so many times this year. It's been ridiculous because I like a lot of the players. There's some amazing stories. If you don't know the story of Sam Hilliard and his dad, who very, very sadly passed away from ALS this past week. And these guys hitting, like, 2 days later, he's hitting home runs. And, I mean, come on, man. I mean, if you can't appreciate the season Ryan McMahon's had or how lucky we have been to watch Trevor Story or a guy that has tremendous potential and talent in Ramel Tapia or what Charlie Blackman has given this community over the past decade, then I don't know what to tell you. But I get it. I know it. And I'm not going to ignore it. But then again, you know, the Daniel, here we go. Legacy High School on the mound, Gilbreath. Couple of great local stories with Gilbreath and with TJ.
Kyle Freeland,
the Freelanders.
Yeah, Lucas went to Legacy High School up north, up my way.
Right.
Yeah, it's, you know, again, I give the Rockies credit because their home excellence has made them something less than an embarrassment because their road record was rivaling the Cleveland Spiders for 3 months. That's the worst ever. And now they become right. functional on the road in the right. second half of the season.
Right.
But they're going to be right around that 74-75 win mark.
So Nolan is literally leading the Cardinals to the playoffs.
He did when he scored the run today. Oh, that's not good.
And Legacy High School gives up a deep shot to center on his first pitch.
Max Muncy. You talk about a guy that does not look athletic as Max Muncy.
Oh, that wasn't his first pitch. There was a guy already on base, so sorry.
Max Muncy is a tank.
Look at all those Dodgers fans there. That sucks.
I mean, this guy matters for the Dodgers because they're trying to catch the Giants.
Oh, yeah. These games matter. These are big games for these guys, and the Giants are coming in here in a couple days.
Yeah, because you want to avoid the one-game play, the unpredictability of a one-game wild card play-in against the Cardinals. Because Wainwright's going to be set up to pitch it. He's 40, but with his curveball, his Uncle Charlie, I mean, he could beat you in a one-game playoff, even if you got Scherzer or got Buehler. You could lose 2-1, 3-2. So this game matters for the Dodgers. They're still. I cannot believe the Giants are going to win like 106 games. You're going to see a team, D-Mac, that gets like 104 wins and be the wild card.
What do you mean you almost lost to Kevin again? Why?
Literally, okay, so you guys are like 15, 20 seconds ahead your TV feed is compared to ours, and I was literally preparing to like get Kevin back and be like, double or nothing right now. The Rockies make it out of this inning without giving up a run. And before I could say it, you're like, oh, that's not good. And then he gives up two runs.
Well, I hate bombing on a local kid.
No,
like
it's
Gilbreath,
fantastic
so,
that Lucas is in.
I mean, it just sucks that.
That ball was absolutely barreled.
You work with him at all? You're connected to Gilbreath?
No, I know how he did some of his recruiting stuff, but I don't know. My kids are, they didn't overlap in the ages.
Where was he going to go to college?
I can't remember now. Imagine it was huge D1. I don't know. What is his story? Did he get drafted out of high school? Now I'm trying to remember.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just assuming he did.
It doesn't seem like he got drafted out of high school. Kyle Freeland went to Evansville, and he was
right.
TJ. He knocked out Longmont High School, my kids.
There you go.
In the playoffs 1 year. They weren't playing, but he knocked him out. I'll do some back turn.
All right, so now the Rockies are losing 7-5. This is it. This is, I know, Rockies talk. But you just want to talk about the difference between, like, championship pedigree quality. By the way, Avalanche, too, got to take note. Avalanche were back at training camp today. Gabe Landeskog, Nathan MacKinnon. If you missed it, Nathan MacKinnon took a puck to the chin, had to get stitches. This happened in, like, the opening moments of training camp. They don't check, by the way, really. They kind of bump into each other. They don't check in training camp, of course, or at least not on the first day. He catches a puck. He has to get two stitches. Crazy. He got stitched up on the first day of training camp.
And he stayed in. Because normally they say, well, it's a precaution. We held him out.
Right. What are you talking about?
It's hockey. It's like, get back in there.
What are you talking about?
You're not missing a shift in September.
Lucas
Gilbert went to University of Minnesota. He was drafted out of high school and then drafted in the seventh round in the amateur draft out of the University of Minnesota.
We got a little Minnesota pipeline here in Colorado, don't we?
Yeah, Sammy Ireland's there from Mountain Vista, Drew Stahl from Mountain Vista, and then there's a pitcher from Mountain Vista. There was three kids, and then Dallas, the Drake kid that was at ASU, transferred to Minnesota.
Is that right?
I don't think he's there this year. But yeah, there was like five Colorado kids on the University of Minnesota this past season.
Okay. I don't know what to say. I'll leave it alone because people go nuts. But the thing is, you know, it's you. What does it take to finish, Troy? What does it take to finish? What does it take to finish things off? I mean, what would it take for Estevez with two outs, nobody on, to finish this team to finish that inning?
Not get hit by a comebacker in the foot would have helped. From that moment on,
let it go. What would it take for the Avalanche with the 2-0 lead over Las Vegas to finish off that series?
Oh, but that's easy. Get tougher. They missed. What's our guy that got suspended like 90 games? They missed Kadri. Sorry, his name is escaping. And he deserved to be suspended because he's like the Masters every spring, a tradition like no other of cheap-shotting somebody in the playoffs. So he earned his suspension. But they missed him. I mean, from that point on, the Knights were like the ugly guy in the fight. Just like, we have nothing to lose. We're going to take it to you. And that's why it's not that they got beat in a physical manner. That happens. Like, you watch fights. I was watching the Ali documentary last night. And you watch him versus Norton. You watch him versus Smoke and Joe Frazier. And no matter who won that fight, there's just ultimate respect because they're just warriors. The Avs they just didn't punch back. D-Mac, when the Knights started punching them in the throat, they didn't punch back. I didn't care that they lost. It happens. The Knights were really good. But once the Knights took over the series, like in the middle of the second game that the Avs won, the Avs never fought back. Do you think? I mean, I just didn't see. Where's the punch back? When the Broncos won Super Bowl 50, I'll never forget. They lost back-to-back games to the Raiders after their Halloween party, whatever party, Christmas party, and get skunked at home by the Raiders. Then they go to the Steelers. Brock Osweiler plays the first half of his life, self-actualizes, and then looks like Tim Tebow in the second half. He's like 9-for-28, and they lose to the Steelers. Gary Kubiak in that locker room afterward. They're going to become the first team to start a season like 9-2 and miss the playoffs. And he brings them together impassioned. Are you on this train? Are you not? Are we together? Are we not? Are we not playing for each other? Are we playing for yourself? And from that moment on, they didn't lose the game. Where is that moment for the Avs? I see them get punched in the face, and then there's no counter. That's all I want to see from the Avs.
Well, and Landeskog and MacKinnon got to step up today and for the rest of the season and talk about it.
I agree.
And it's going to take... The amount of hard work it takes to get back to that same point is overwhelming.
And you have to be healthy, which stinks. But I would have had questions for Bednar. Like, are you the guy, the coach? Because I like him from afar. But are you the coach to push that button and say, guys, we can't go down this road again and be the best skating team in the NHL? We've seen where that takes us.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1 Longmont Denver.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.